Today we're going to speak, if I remember correctly, the subject today is you get what you do, what you deserve, reward. And of course, I'm going to mix different topics with that. One of the main reasons why people are not religious today, many, is because they have problem understanding the boss of the world. So what is it like? A person got a job somewhere, he has a boss. The boss is there 40 years. The person got there, he is there 1 week. And the boss knows everything about diamonds, rubies, emerald, everything. Special, from what country, the value. He knows everything. And the guy is there 1 week, and the guy, it doesn't make sense to him. Why this stone worth $1 million and that stone only 5,000? It looks the same. He doesn't see a difference. And because of that, he decides that his boss, you know, has no idea what he's doing. Doesn't make sense. This whole company is all crooks. And I don't have to tell you where it can lead to. Same thing, a person goes to a doctor. The doctor says, you need this kind of surgery. He doesn't want to believe him. Why? He doesn't know anything about medicine. The doctor is 30 years a doctor. He's an expert in this field. The doctor is nothing for me. Okay, no. The doctor is not, you know, I'm not going to follow what the doctor is telling me. Obviously, in life, it's not the same. When a person goes to a lawyer and he needs legal advice, 99.9% of the people, they adopt 100% the advice the lawyer gives them. Criminal advice, IRS advice, real estate advice, divorce, marriage, whatever. They take their advice. Your doctor tell you take these pills. 99.9% of the people don't ask questions. They take it, even if they can die from it. A person can die from a wrong medicine that the doctor gives him. Everything in life, your computer expert tell you your hard drive is finished, you replace it. When it comes to the most important thing in life, every little thing, there's a question. Debate, arguments, questions, I don't understand, how can it be? So I want to ask you a question. Where does it come from? Where does it come from that a person look at the world and he doesn't understand the world and he has a lot of questions and it bothers him, he doesn't see justice, he sees too many people that he likes suffering, and many, many other examples that I can give you from now until next year. Since it bothers him, he doesn't see justice in a creation, then he decides that he shouldn't follow any Torah, any mitzvot, it's not for me. Anyway, I don't understand anything. What do you think? It's wise, it's clever. Do you think there's any person in the world that really, really thinks that he can understand God? The way he runs the world, all the worlds, the galaxies, the stars, reincarnations, animals, birds. Such a complicated world. Do you really think there's a person who is normal to think that, you know, I'm able to understand every transaction here? Nobody really thinks he can understand God. I don't think there's such a foolish people out there that really thinks that I can be here and understand everything that's happening here. Just standing 5 minutes in Manhattan, you see 10 million people walking everywhere you go. That's already, it makes you a little bit nervous. Ooh, what a place. So many things are happening every second here, without a supervisor, without a direction from the boss. How can something like this work? Everyone finds food to eat. Everyone lives in a place. Millions of different people come. They buy here, sell there, go there. China, Hong Kong. It's all connected. Such a complicated creation. And in the end, he wants to understand how everything works. Very nice. One company decided to bring a mega computer imported from Japan to Israel. So they shipped the, it took 3 months, the whole operation, because it's like the size of this whole place. It's a big computer, not a little laptop here. Talking many devices with fake cables connected. Oh, a big thing. After the Japanese bought it with, and they sent their engineers and everything, and they installed everything, the computer does not work. They can't turn it on. They try here, try there, they bring, they call Japan, customer service, hundreds of dollars every day, phone calls from here to Japan, from Israel. 1 week they cannot get the system to work. The factory is losing fortune already. So they told them, the Japanese people said, we're very sorry, we don't understand. We test everything before he left the factory. You're going to have to ship it back. We'll pay all the expenses. What can we do? It's a $1 million damage here, and we're talking. They have to ship it back and wait another 3 months. And the last minute, the Japanese asked them, tell me, did you check that the electric outlet is connected? So many people were busy putting this huge piece together. The cable that's supposed to go into the 220 volt, it wasn't connected. A person sometimes he looks from the outside very, very religious. Very sophisticated machine. Beard, peot, hat, frack. You know, everything works mamash into place. And in the end, his cable is not connected to Hashem. I want to ask you a question. Let's say this cell phone worth $2,000. I don't know, every day they come up with something new. So at least for a day it's going to worth $2,000. Tomorrow it's going to be half a price, the next day quarter, until you buy it for a slice of pizza. But let's say this is $2,000. If it doesn't have a charger to charge, it has a unique charger. Charger costs $2. It's worth something? The value of this phone is $2,000? No, it's $2. Can't do anything with it. A person can be all his life not connected to Hashem. All his life, he had yarmulke, tzitzit, everything. But he's really not connected to Hashem. For instance, if a person needs to live with all the things that we see the goyim do every day in his life, I hear it all the time. Many people, they're connected to this materialistic world like an addiction. They check 10 times before they eat what they eat. If it's not delicious, they return it. They order again, they change. They're not going to go to a place the food is not 100%. When they go on a shidduch, they only care about one thing, how beautiful the girl is, nothing else. No modesty, no irat shamayim, no nothing. Even her record, her history, all these things is maybe all together 10%. 90% how she looks. That's how they buy it. Like people buy car. They see how nice and beautiful the car is without engine, with transmission, without transmission. Go in the auction, see how people buy cars. That's why in the auction they always make sure to wash the cars very good. It smells great. It looks good. It looks brand new. They make a wax from the outside. It's like taking a dead person. Tomorrow he's about to die. He's cancer all over his body and make him a plastic surgery. Fix his nose, you know, stretch his skin, you know, take some fat out of his stomach. It makes him look very good. Tomorrow he's going to die. It's a dead case. All fake. All plastic, fake from the outside. The American style looks beautiful from the inside. From the outside, there's no inside, really. It's all nice from the outside, you know, fake. It looks beautiful bricks. In the end, it's plastic. Everything is mamash. Wood, it looks wood. In the end, it's nothing. It's not really wood. Just from the outside. Why? The beauty, it's so important. Can't live without it. Or sport. It's healthy, Rabbi. What? I'm religious 100%. I learn Torah every day, but, you know, we have to do sport. Do you really believe that there is one religious person who does sport for his health? Do you really think it exists? You know what it means to do sport for your health? To run. Yeah, those who jog on the street or in a gym, they run. They do it for the health, because it's boring to run. But all the basketball, soccer, football, baseball, tennis, they really do it for the health or they do it for the addiction? All the movies who people watch. Rabbi, Discovery Channel is beautiful. It's to get impressed from the creation of Hashem. They really do it for that? Or they do it because they're empty and they need a new amount of drug for today to keep them going? Why the kids cannot look in this generation and most of them cannot look in a Gemara? You know, they go to school, for them it's a big punishment. Why is it? Because their parents start to show them all kinds of things in a computer. Colors, high definition, music, this. It attracts the Yetzer Hara so much, it becomes like a drug. You give a person cocaine once for free, twice, three, four. There's a point that he cannot live without it. He'll kill for it. Kill his mother for it, if that's what he needs. Addiction is a very serious thing. You know the gamblers when they go to Atlantic City? Do you ever follow them? Take a camera and follow them how they behave. It's like not them. It's like the Satan took over. They're dead already for 3-4 hours or 30 days, as long as they stay there. And then when they lose all their money, you don't want to be around them when it happens. Why? Why you don't want to be next to them?
I'll ask you for more money.
Very good. I need a loan. Mm-hmm. Hey, give me $500. No, I'm not giving you anymore. No, I have to get back what I lost. That's how it is. All the gamblers, they always only want to get back what they lost. Same thing in the stock market. A person loses a lot, he borrows, he loses it also, he borrows, he loses it also. Why? He wants to get back what he lost. Do you really believe that once he gets back what he lost, he's going to quit? Did you see one guy like this? If he gets it back, the hunger only becomes greater and greater. Bottom line, life is full of addictions. Full of addictions. How a person can cut all these addictions in a very short period of time and get free, release himself from this misery of all these addictions that are choking us from everywhere, come to only one conclusion. There's only one thing is important in life, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah and everything else is mud. Diamonds is garbage. Gold is garbage. Beautiful clothes, it's garbage. This is, once a person reached this level, from this moment his life is very, very free. It's a free man, free woman. Nothing care, they don't care. Rav Steinman, you know the chairs in his house? Milk cart. You know the milk cart that they bring the milk? Those blue and red ones? From there they made chairs. You know how many millions of dollars go through his account every month? From donations, they fly him in a private jet of Glick, Shimon Glick, the big diamond dealer. He has a private jet. He takes him all over. He sits in his house on milk cart. Why? Was any problem for him to buy himself a nice mansion? The people who gave him the money will be very happy to see him live comfortably. If you want a brand new car, $200,000, tomorrow morning you'll have it. It's not you and I that has to beg for $10 donation. This is big shots. They call up the person, I need $1 million urgent by the end of the week. The people will get it for them. There's few people like this in the world. And if they finally pick up the phone, that's it. And those who can do it, live the most simple life. Did you ever see the house of Rav Eliashiv in YouTube? They filled the house. It looks, I don't know how to describe it, Bechlal. Or all these Gdolim, Ephraim Kaniel. They're there, but they're not here. Why? They already released themselves from the addiction to this world. They can be in this world, but they're really not here. You know, the rabbi of Johannesburg in South Africa, his name was Rav Aaron Fafoifer. I can't even say the name. It was a tzaddik in Johannesburg. One time a girl comes to him, 18, 19 years old. She's about to get engaged tomorrow. She comes and he sees not only she's not happy, she's crying, she's under pressure. So he says to her, "What happened?" thought, God forbid, she wants to break the shidduch. That's also a big problem that we have today. People are already set for a date, oh, and something goes wrong. So she said, no, I have a great guy, everything is perfect. Not, that's not the problem. So what's the problem? She said, you know, he bought me the ring, he bought me everything. Tomorrow I'm going with my parents, we sit and do the l'chaim, the engagement, and I didn't buy him the gold watch. The custom was to buy a gold watch. And I don't have a penny. Nothing. I don't have a penny to buy him the watch. Not me, not my parents. And I don't know what to do tomorrow. Right, tomorrow I have 24 hours. Maybe you have an idea for me. Some people think the rabbi is Santa Claus. You know, whenever they need money, they call a rabbi, can you help me? Well, if it was both ways, then it's good. You know, like when the rich people also have plenty of money to give, they'll call up the rabbi, Rabbi, where are you? I'm looking to help you out. Usually that doesn't happen. You call, you make an appointment, you come to the place, you wait 3 hours, he runs away from the office. Why? He's afraid to give $100 donation. How much money he has in his bank account? $200 million. Telling you cases that happens every day. Here, around us. So, how do you... I want to ask you, maybe I'm dreaming, I don't know, maybe I'm not from this world. Do you think that this person can call himself religious? Can he call himself a Jew? I'm talking Shomer Shabbat, even learn Daf Yomi. That a person comes, he collects money to make people religious, to save souls. He has $200, $500 million, $5 billion, all kinds of giants. And they don't want to give $200 to help other Jews to become closer to Hashem. Can they call themselves Jews, these people, or no? What do you think? Can? Yes? Who said yes? Of course. Yeah? Why?
They work for their money.
They work for their money, huh? Do you think that the work brings the money? What do you really think? I have news for you. The people who have the most money, they work less than the people who work very hard. The guy who works in a pizza shop, all day running to deliver, he makes $100 a day. And he works very, very hard. One diamond dealer, one or two, five phone calls, he can make $1 million. On five phone calls and two faxes, he shows some diamonds, they buy it, finished. $1 million. Pizza guy would work 70 years, kill himself in the rain, in the heat, up and down, this, that, collect, won't get to $100,000. He made three phone calls, $1 million profit. So the work doesn't bring the money, in case you thought. Yeah.
Who's born to work, never going to fly.
What you say?
It's God that wants them to have the money. God gives the money to people.
We're not debating that, of course. If Hashem doesn't want, you don't have anything.
So if someone comes to them...
I think you didn't understand my question. A person dies, and he comes in front of Hashem, and Hashem will ask him, are you Jewish? What happens if he will answer yes? What's going to be the next thing that Hashem will tell him? Let's use common sense. No, we don't have to be angels and we don't have to be Gdolei Ador to know. This is every ignorant, every fool should know it. What will be Hashem's comment to him? In your dream, my friend. In your dream. Did you know that the Zionist movement... They came to Israel after the Chovevei Tzion came to Israel. All the religious people in 1880, they started to buy the land from the Arabs. It was all swamps. Then the second wave of immigration came. They were already not religious. It's all Zionist, communist that came from Russia, Poland, from those areas. You know, the famous names. Half of Israel, it's streets that name after them. So did you know that they could save 1 million Jews from the Nazis? Did you know that? With money, and they didn't want. Did you know that or no? Eichmann, Yimach Shimo, they saw that the Germans saw they're losing the war. That's it. They're starting to surrender. Soldiers are running, backing up. The Americans and the Russians were already taking over. So they had a lot of casualties and a lot of problems, and he knew that the Zionists are multi-billionaires. They have so much money, the bond, all these names that you see them, they have offices here in New York. They're not billionaires from today. They don't have all these thousands of acres of land all over the world from today. It's been already generations. So he called one of them, and he told him, he was one of the activists there in Europe. He told him, listen, we need 10,000 trucks full of blankets and medicine. I'll give you a list of everything we need. You fund it, and I will release the last million Jews that we didn't kill yet. So the guy told him, he was afraid to talk. He wrote a whole book about it, that guy. It wasn't religious. The religious people didn't make it up. He wrote it. This one of the activists on the movements. Yoel Rand, his name. Maybe you can Google him. He'll come up. In his funeral, I promise you, there was not one person. They put him in cherem. They put a band on him. Well, he told the secret. Nobody knew that secret. It was among them. So he called him up, and he said that, how would we know that once we wire you the money, we send you, there was no wiring. Once we show letter of credit, we have the money ready to go, how do we know we really release the Jews? So he says, I'll make it very easy for you. You have to just prove to me that the money, is the banker will give us the okay, that the money is ready to come. And I will release 100,000 Jews with no conditions right away. Then you transfer 1,000 trucks with the medicine and the blankets that we need to the places I'm going to tell you. Once you deliver the 1,000, I will release right away another 100,000 Jews. And then you give me another 1,000. I will first release and then you'll give me. It was a fair deal, no? Right away he went. They make a meeting. Ben-Gurion, all the famous big shots. And they came to a conclusion. This is what they said. What are we going to do with another stinky million immigrants? That's what they say. What are we going to do? We're going to bring them here to Israel? And have to take care of jobs for them? What are we going to do with them? They vote, almost all of them, against it. And that's how they killed the last million Jews. You need the Nazis to kill us? We kill ourselves every day. You need the Arabs to kill us? You know how many Smolanim Israelis make us damage million times worse than the Arabs every day? You don't hear that we're crying about the traitors that we have in our nation. Hardly ever. All the time. The Arabs, Hamas, Hezbollah, this, that. Okay, with them, what do you expect? If you have an enemy, you know to defend yourself from him. It's not so difficult. We always had an advantage on them, brain-wise, technology-wise. With Hashem's help, of course, we won all the time. We survived against them for 3,000 years. Ishmael is trying to destroy us. We always survived. We defeated them many times. Who we couldn't defeat? Who? Our own brothers and sisters that are killing us from inside. I'll give you an example. One article, one writer in a Israeli newspaper, he wrote an article that the Chabad, that was about a few months ago, Chabad started to move to Tel Aviv, to the north of Tel Aviv. This is fancy areas. They opened up some kind of a kollel, yeshiva, I don't know exactly what. And they're starting to rent and to buy apartments. Chabad has a lot of money. It's a very, very rich organization. So they are one of the ones, the only ones perhaps that can afford to go to places and buy right away cash, buildings or apartments in expensive areas. So they started to buy in an anti-religious area. You know what happened to a Jew that is anti-religious when he sees a guy with a black hat and a beard? For him, it's just like seeing a Nazi, no different in his mind. Right away, he puts him as a target. This is a pin in my neck here. How are we getting rid of them? So he wrote an article in a newspaper that they have to do everything to demonstrate and to protest the occupation of the Chabad in those neighborhoods. Just yesterday, he wrote another article against the rabbis who say not to sell apartments to the Arabs in Israel. So what a hypocrite. When the religious people wanted to buy apartments legally, with the law, every person can buy any apartments he wants, no? Anyway, you have the money, you buy it. He went against it. When the Arabs wants to buy apartments and take over Israel, as they do already for the last 30 years, it bothers him. He wrote an article, it's prejudiced, racism. You know how many thousands like this you have in the media that killing us from inside? That's why we're paying the price. Now remember, if Hashem gave them the power, it's because of us. If the religious people will really be religious, not half enough. Half a day is religious, half a day is a goy. You know? Yeah. One guy told me on the way to Belgium in a plane, he was looking for minyan. It's a guy from, he's looking for a minyan. And he found with himself seven people that has black hats or yarmulkes, so he can recognize them as religious people on the way here to Belgium, to Brussels. Now he needs three more people. So he started to go. I don't know how this guy had the guts for this. Really a brave guy. He was going from one person to another on a plane and asking him, excuse me, are you Jewish? Excuse me. One guy said, yes. He said, okay, can you come to us to join us for minyan, this? One guy said, you know, I'm conservative. I'm not mashlim minyan. At least he knows. He said, oh, you don't want me. I'm not mashlim minyan. Bottom line, in the end, they found one guy without a yarmulke, a Syrian guy from Brooklyn. And while talking to the guy, it turns that guy supposedly is more religious than all the rest of the minyan. But he doesn't go with a yarmulke. He walks without a yarmulke, embarrassed to pull a yarmulke. Makpid kemach yashan, chalav Israel. He's talking to him on the plane. Later, they became friends. It turns that this guy is more religious than what the books has to say. But embarrassed to put a yarmulke. Did you ever see an Arab that is embarrassed to be religious? Show me one. You go to Kennedy Airport, they need to pray. What do? They take the mat out of the bag, the suitcase, put it in the middle of the terminal. Did you see the pictures that 500 Arabs closed 42nd Street? What was that? Madison Avenue in the middle of the intersection. They started to pray in the middle of the road and traffic couldn't move. Did you see that or no? They're not afraid. They're not embarrassed. Why should we be embarrassed? Hashem comes first. Yeah.
Yeah, the Arabs don't have. They don't have the understanding of Hilul Hashem. They kill in the name of God.
Yeah.
They don't do such a thing. That's why if we do something bad and we're wearing the yarmulke, it's embarrassing. So it's better not to wear.
You know one of the reasons that yarmulke was made. You know why? To prevent you from doing Hilul Hashem. Same thing, tzitzit, to protect you from not making sins with the women. Take off your shirt and you see the tzitzit, you remember Hashem, you get embarrassed. Mara brings few cases like this. Person went to make a sin with a prostitute. She asked him, what's this, the goya? And that's how he realized, what am I doing? This is protection. Uritem oto zchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem, v'asitem otam v'item kdoshim le'elokechem. It will make you holy. What makes you holy? Cotton material or wool, that's what makes a person holy? No, the idea of looking at the names of Hashem around you in four corners protect you from making a sin. I'll give you an example. Be honest with me. A person that likes to look at the ladies in the street, when would he look at them? When he has a yarmulke and when he doesn't have? When he doesn't have, he's a goy. He can do whatever he wants. Nobody knows. So he makes sins every second. Once he put $2 on his head, it's the best policeman. He's embarrassed to look. Why? He knows if I'm going to look, they're going to think, what kind of religious guy is this? So for $2, you save yourself from thousands of years in Gehenom for $2 a day? $2 a month, a year, I don't know. How much a yarmulke is? Protects you a whole year. $5. Protection, believe me, better than you bring a detective, he won't do such a good job. Plus, the yarmulke can save life. One time I got stuck at 11 o'clock in the morning on the way to Muncie in Palisades Parkway, flat tire. I cannot open the nuts. You know how many cars stopped for me? You fill up the half of Brooklyn, how many cars were passed. Every 3, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, you need help? What? You need a phone? One guy ran to the store to buy spray. Another guy brought his own axle. You should see, like a like we opened the yeshiva over there on Palisades Parkway. Why they stop for me? Only one thing, $5.
It's also a target.
It's also a target to someone who doesn't believe in Hashem. One accountant had a job interview. And he asked, should I go with the kippah or no? Should I go with big money in the good days when they used to pay good? Today, I don't know why people go to college. What's the point? To make less money than a taxi driver? 7 years to learn to kill your head and in the end you make less than a taxi driver? I don't see the logic here. To be educated, you can educate yourself in the internet in a tenth of the time. What takes you over there 7 years will take you 7 months. You get the same amount of education. And you can choose what to learn. They don't force it on you to learn all the nonsense, not relevant things. But that's besides the point. So in those days, so he asked the rabbi, Rabbi, if I go with the yarmulke, you know, maybe he hates Jews, this, he won't give me the job, I'll never know. Maybe I'll go without it, you know, just for the interview. Then once I get the job, maybe I'll show up one day with the yarmulke, and that's all will be too late. So the rabbi told him, do what your heart tells you. You're right. Sometimes the yarmulke will make you not get the job. Sometimes it will make you get the job. Depends. So he went to the job interview, saw a goy. The goy spoke to him. He said, okay, leave your resume here, you know, and we'll get back to you. A week and a half passed by, he didn't get any phone call. He went with the yarmulke in the end. He said, I made a mistake. Why I'm such a tzaddik? Should take the yarmulke. Be Roma, tie Romai. In Rome, become Roman. No? The next day, he got a phone call. And who calls? Not the secretary. Not the manager. The owner of the company. Someone who interviewed him. He said, come, I want to speak to you again. Second interview. He went there. He said, you got the job. He said, yeah. He said, yes. You know why you got the job? Yeah, he said, why? Because of that thing that you have there. The goy tells him. So he said, well, what's the connection? He said, I'll tell you, I'm traveling a lot. And since I remember myself, I always kill myself. Who knows what happened in my place when I'm not there? What they do, what they steal, who knows? All of a sudden, a guy that believes in God, you know, and I know the religion says you should not steal, comes to me, it's like a treasure. Come, I want to show you all the resumes that I have here. Find me one of them that is not better than you. More experience, more professional, everyone. But I'm giving you the job. In the end, he got the job. You understand? So you're right. Now what happens if they don't give you the job because you have a yarmulke? Very good. Also great. Who wants to be with racists in the same office and suffer from them? You know how many people suffering because the manager is anti-Semite and the other one? So Hashem protects you from all this headache. If you work with good goyim, no, you don't feel the pressure. You go and you, in the end, they find out you're Jewish, you suffer much more. The Gemara says like this. Oh. We have to finish our story first. If I had the power, I'd give you $1,000 penalty for that. Minimum.
I'm ready to pay.
Huh?
I'm ready to pay.
You're ready to pay? Okay, come to me after the lecture. Anyway, so Rav Aaron from Johannesburg, the girl comes to cry that she doesn't have the money for the watch. So he saw a Jewish girl in a problem. He took off his watch, gold watch. He told her, here is the watch. Take it here. They clean it for $10, $5, whatever. They shine it. You know, sometimes, you know, sometimes a person does, when he does a job, he does it from his heart. On my last visit to Arizona, my glass was broken. So when they picked me up from the airport, it was Friday. So I said, Michael Ibrahimov, I told him, you know, maybe you have a place, a guy who fixes watches here. So, oh yeah, the Gabbai of the Shul has a place he fixes watches. I said, maybe he can fix the glass for me. I don't know, New York, where I can fix the watch. So he said, oh, don't worry about it. Give me the watch, I'll give it to him. So very good, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to waste time on it. The guy brought it before Shabbat, but he could have fixed the glass, but he also made the whole belt, completely brand new. I don't know, they have a way. They took off all the scratches, polished it. I don't know how they did it. All the scratches disappeared. Mamash looked like brand new. If you tell a person he just came out of the factory, he believes. Nobody asked him to do it. Sometimes a person, this is his nature. He likes to give. This is the kind of people Hashem love. Not egoistic. So anyway, the rabbi gave her the watch. She shined the watch. She gave it to her fiancé, and that was the end of it, as far as her concern. Now the rabbi thinking, how will I go home? My wife's going to see the watch she bought me for our wedding is not there. It's also a problem. So he's thinking, wow, what am I going to do? So he decided that he has to go and buy a watch. So he went to the store, asking him to show him all the watches that he has. He's looking for one that looks very similar to the one he gave the girl. Finally, he found a watch, almost a twin. Mamash, very similar. How much? Whatever it was, you know, whatever amount of money it was. So he takes out the money, he begins to count. It's a true story that happened in Johannesburg. How many stories like this you hear? It's 1 to 1 million, it can happen. The manager of the store comes to him with a camera, sir, you don't have to pay, put your money back in your wallet. Congratulations, what? You are the 10,000th customer since we opened that business. And whatever you purchase now, you don't have to pay. Just sign here, take pictures, they make and he got it. He got it for free. Why? If we would do such mitzvah to give a watch to a poor girl, probably won't get it back the next day. Depend how you give it. It burns you. You regret after. You have hesitation. What a fool I am. Why? I'm so generous. People that give $18 daka, they don't sleep sometimes 3 years after that.
Sometimes if you give daka, next day the person who takes, he curses you.
Why?
I don't know why.
The person who takes the car curse you? I remember one time I gave a few pennies, dimes, whatever, to somebody next to the subway, and they threw it right at me. I don't know, they expected $100 maybe. Yeah, but I don't know. All right, anyway, I want to tell you, you know, there's a lot of strange thing in life. You know, to make a penny, you know how much the government pay to make a penny? You know the brand new pennies that you see? It costs them 5 cents to make it, to make one penny. And nobody think, maybe it's about time to cancel the penny. Cancel the dime, the nickel. Make 10 dimes, it's $1, that's it. What do you need pennies for? Anyone, nobody cares. $99.99. It sounds better than 100. So the point is, if a person has such level of emunah, and he never worry about having, not having, giving, everything comes easy for him. Doesn't have to worry. The problems that we have so much to struggle in Parnassah, we bring it to ourselves with no emunah. You should know it. Same thing, shiduchim. Most of the shiduchim now, it's not what you think. There are two kinds of shiduchim. First shiduch and all the rest. First shiduch, it's a decree, that's it. Hashem announced it, who's going to be your wife, and finish. And it's not in your hand, it's not in her hand, it's an announcement, it will happen one way or the other. And then every time after that, it's depend who you are. Depend what's your schuyot, where do you live, what kind of lifestyle you have, what sin that you make that preventing you from getting married. It's all 100% in your hand. Remember, the shiduchim is 100% in your hand. If it doesn't happen, it's you. If it happens, it's also you. Who does it happen with? It's also you. Where does it say it in the Gemara? Amar Rish Lakish, mezavgim lo la'adam zivug lefi ma'asav. Person gets his divug, zivug is a soulmate according to who he is. That's what determines how you're going to be your shiduch. Who you are, tell me who you are, I'll tell you who your wife is. Or the other way around. So what does it mean? מכריזים משמיים, they announced it before. That's only when all the souls were brand new. When Hashem started the world, every soul was clean. There was no sins yet. Right? We had the soul of Adam. It was split to many different things. So when the souls are brand new, there is no rating, no score, no mitzvot, no punishment, no nothing. Clear. Start clean. After one life, a person has a rating. 30, 40, minus 30, minus 1,000. Depends who the person is. Right? A person can come to this world and leave the world with a $200,000 deficit. Or you can leave the world with $10 million leftover. I'm talking money. But I'm not talking about money. I'm just using it as an example. So the question is, a person can come to this world and lose from his credit. He was very good in his previous life. He came for another test to improve himself, and he made it worse. Or he increased his level by making tshuva, etc., etc. So what? In the beginning, since everyone was equal, it doesn't apply. Mezavgim lo la'adam zivug lefi ma'asav. Because there's no ma'asav. That's how the Ari explains. Zivug rishon, zivug sheni. In the beginning, when it was brand new, Hashem decided. It has to start somewhere. But after one life, if Reuven is 70 and Shifra is 30, they don't belong together. One reincarnation, it's enough already. Now Hashem decide who goes to who. And you should also know, that's one of the reasons that the Chachamim say that you can get engaged in Chol HaMoed. Why? Maybe somebody will come and steal your shiduch from you. Don't delay it. Chol HaMoed, you make an engagement. Why? Maybe another 4 days, somebody will come and grab her. What do you mean grab her? If it's an announcement, nobody can touch her. Many of the speakers make this mistake today, and they mislead the people. They mislead them. They think what's yours is yours, and nobody can take it from you. That's good about money, about other things. But shiduchim, it depends who you are. You can lose it in a minute. One sin you made, Hashem take away your shiduch and give you something a lot worse. Or the other way around. You had one test in life, boom, you pass that test, everything opens up. Much better wife, forget it. That's why sometimes people suffer very much in the first marriage, a lot, because they didn't deserve a good shidduch. But after they suffer so much, and they learn from life experience what to do, what not to do, now they are much better in their level, much better. The second shidduch is fantastic. All the suffering they had, they don't have anymore. Why? Because they already learned from their mistake. Not to abuse, not to do this, not to be angry, to be more generous. They learned from their mistakes. So they elevated their level, so they get something much better. The Gemara says, when people die, I spoke about it in many different lectures. We start to get our reward or our punishment. Depend what we deserve. In the end, we have to eat what we cook for ourselves. Over here, you can cook and throw it to the dog. Over there, what you cooked, you're going to be forced to eat. 100%. The question is, how delicious is going to be? You cook a good food, you put your efforts in it. No, it's worth it. If not, it's not such a bargain. So the Gemara says like this, Shlosha yordim lagehenom ve'enam olim. All people who, God forbid, has to go to Gehenom, they clean their soul and they come out of there eventually, and now Hashem pays them for the reward. Once the soul gets clean, that's a person goes to his place in heaven and receives his reward forever and ever. It's over. Doesn't have to come back to this world. Another reincarnation, another test, it's over. But there are three kinds of people who goes to Gehenom but do not come out of there. Guess who? One, a person who went with a married woman and died without making tshuva. It's an epidemic today. I don't know if you know it. I saw a research, survey, I don't know how to call it. And the numbers over there were so scary, I couldn't read the rest. About what's happening in Israel with the cheating. Now you say, okay, Rabbi, it's secular people. Not always. Not always. Women that look the most religious women with the shaved head, they sometimes cheat. And husbands that look like Rosh Yeshiva, the way he looks, also sometimes cheat. It's very, very scary, this situation. Not to talk about all the people on the street that Hashem Yirachem, they live like animals. No animals. It's a different story already. What's the point? They don't believe in Hashem. There's no eye who watch over me. That's what they think. So they do whatever they can do. In Israel, they open more than 10,000 prostitution places in the last 15 years. 99% Russians, goyot, that came from Russia. Two sins. Many of them are married, and they work during the day. She has a husband and kids at home. During the day, she's a prostitute in a place. It's breaking houses. It's ruining marriages. It ruins the teenagers. You have no idea what's going on. They put a big sign in Israel on the highway. Reach 50? Time to replace your wife. And they show a Russian 18 years old prostitute showing there. Mamash, like this on the highway. The Medina, the land of the Jews. It used to be an honor to say I'm a Jew. Today, what's going on in Israel? Mamash busha. Big embarrassment. Show me one Arab country that they'll dare to put such a sign. What would happen to the person who made the sign? If he will have one hand left on his body. You know, in a war, in Yom Kippur War, 1973, there were a few thousand Israeli prisoners in Egypt. One of them, his name was Rami. Rami, Israeli soldier, went to jail in Egypt. And the Arabs are expert in torturing prisoners. Today it's the whole world, not only the Arabs. But 1973, they had all kinds of psychological torture that they used to torture people in such way. Just, you read about it, you get so scared. Imagine if I was there. I will look how to kill myself, not to take the suffering. That's why Shaul HaMelech fell on a sword. You know, if I fall in the hand of Amalek, forget it, what they're going to do to me. Better to fall on a sword. Person commits suicide because he's afraid of the tortures of the goyim that comes after him. It's not a person that loses share to the world to come. Person who commits suicide because he lost $1 million, no, that's just a fool. Doesn't understand his test. A person that was crazy is also not responsible. But a person that is afraid that the goyim will capture him and who knows what they do to him, or a woman that is afraid to be raped or something like this, and she kill herself, is a mitzvah, not a sin. The Gemara say 400 boys and girls, the Romans took them in handcuffs to Rome. What? For what they need them? For prostitution. They say Shema Israel and they jump to the ocean and drown. The 93 girls from Bet Yaakov, their mora got them poison pills. She was ready with that in her stocking for the day that the Nazis will show up. And one day they heard that they're coming, and she told them, I have 93 pills for all of us. Those who want to leave would leave. But I'm going to take it in less than a minute. You're dead? Just that these filthy monsters won't put their hands on me. All 93 unanimously agreed to take the pill. Not even one wanted to stay alive, knowing this Nazi will put his hands on them. And today our sisters are going to look for Nazis in Germany to make sins and get married to them. When their grandparents were Holocaust victims, today she goes, she lives in Germany with a German husband, a grandson of Hitler. You understand what's happening? This is what the Torah says. Your destroyers comes from among you. Nobody can damage the Jews besides the Jews. Remember this. We always get angry at our enemies, Hezbollah, Iran. You don't understand that it's all a show. Who puts this puppet show? this midget from Iran and the other monster from Lebanon. Who puts this show? Who moves the strings? Who? Hashem does it. It's like a dog. He can bite as much as he wants. If Hashem wants him to bite, he can bark. If Hashem doesn't want him to bite, he's going to bark as much as he wants. When Hashem wants him to bite, he will bite. Hashem moves them. They have no say of their own. You should know it. When Israel is up, Ishmael is down, the Gemara says. The Zohar says clearly. When Israel is up, Ishmael is down. If Israel go down, Ishmael automatically go up. In the Hamas foundation, they wrote, not an agreement. It's like everyone who joined the Hamas has to sign on it. Sheikh Yassin, Imach Shimo, that got a missile into his head at 5 o'clock in the morning. Remember that murderer with the wheelchair? So he wrote the Amana of the Hamas. How do you say Amana in English?
Charter.
Huh?
Charter.
Yeah. You sure?
The Constitution,
yeah. Charter, the Constitution of the Hamas. He write about the Jews. The Jews are the chosen people that Allah chose, but since they betrayed him so many times, our job is to punish them. Read, go check the Charter of the Hamas in the internet and see over there. I have it in my laptop in English, if you want to read. Hashem show us so many things that we will open up our eyes. And today you're not allowed to say in the lecture the word punishment. I'm the only crazy one in the world today that dare to say the word punishment or Gehenom. Nobody will say it. Show me one rabbi that dare to say it in the lecture. Can you tell me one name? Used to be Rabbi Amnon Yitzchak, but they made such pressure on him that he started to get afraid already from all the media and this. But you know, I was in a Shabbaton in Englewood this Shabbat, and one woman from Brazil, she told me, you're scaring me. So I told her, I have Rashi to back me up. It's good that you have somebody like Rashi behind you. Rashi says, there's a pasuk, it says like this. In Tchilat Parashat Acharei Mot, this is the parashat that we read in Yom Kippur Acharei Mot Bnei Aaron, the death of Bnei Aaron, the Tzadikim. Why we read it in Yom Kippur? Because to teach us that the death of the righteous people, it's a repentance for the entire nation. Mechaper, it's kapara for the entire nation. So same thing, the death of the righteous people is a kapara, like Yom Kippur. So kapara falls on kapara. That's the reason we read it over there. So this is what it says. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe אחרי מות שני בני אהרון בקרבתם לפני השם וימותו. And Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they got closer in front of Hashem, we sacrificed Esh Zara, and they died. This is the words of Rashi. Why the Torah mentioned the death of Bnei Aaron? What's the connection now? Hashem wanted to speak to Moshe and tell him something new. Who cares now that it was after the death of Bnei Aaron? You can say that it was after 1,000 different things. It was after this and after this. From all the things in the world, there's extra 4 words in the Torah. Acharei mot Bnei Aaron, 5 words. Acharei mot shnei Bnei Aaron, 5 extra words in the Torah. This is the words of Rashi. He gives an example from a doctor. A person comes to a doctor, and the doctor say, don't eat this and this and that, that you won't get sick. It can make you sick. That's it. And he left. Then he goes to a second doctor. The second doctor told him the same thing like the first doctor. Don't eat this and this and that. Right? Al tochal tzonen ve'al tishkav batachav. Don't eat cold food and don't sleep in a cold place. That's what the doctor told him. That was the first doctor. Achar kach, Rashi said, later he went to a second doctor, and he told him the same words, but he added, don't eat cold, and don't sleep in a cold place, like that person, like Ploni, that died because of that. That you won't die like that person who did it. So Rashi writes, who was productive? The first doctor or the second doctor? Only the second doctor. The first doctor didn't do anything. It was a waste of the money for the appointment. Why? If you come to a doctor and the doctor said, don't smoke, it's not good for your health. Every fool knows it. He didn't quit. But if the doctor turns and sees somebody who just died today, and he showed his lung, say, see this guy? He was in your situation and he died this morning. There's no guarantee he will be successful. But there's a much, much higher chance that this guy will quit smoking. Everywhere the Torah speak about it, the Torah always say to love Hashem and to fear Him. Why? Why not? Why to fear Him? We don't like it, Rabbi. It's too much pressure in the Torah. Why Hashem is so strict? What do you want from me? I wrote the Torah. Did Hashem consult with me what to write, what not to write? I only read what it says. What other people don't have the guts to read. So the idea is that a person has to understand, yeah, you can do whatever you want. You can fool yourself, you can lie to yourself, you can go to lecture and hear jokes and laugh and everything is beautiful. You can pretend you're religious with a short skirt and tight clothes and all kinds of things that you do. Yes. In the end, you'll be shocked when you see your situation after you die. You'll be shocked. The pain will be so much and you will say, huh? All my life I was religious for nothing? Nothing counts? So Hashem's going to show you. Show me one thing you did properly. Modesty, forget it. You're not modest. But Hashem, you compare me to the girls on the beach? No, no, no. You're not going to get the same punishment like them. It's a different story. But you're asking me if you're modest? The answer is no. You fail. She got 0, you got 20. You both fail. Both of you won't get the job. Both of you cannot enter where you're supposed to enter. She's going to suffer more than you, for sure. There's no question about it. But you're not modest. Okay, what else? Charity. Did you give enough? Not even 1% than what I expected from you. Fail. Shabbos. You kept Shabbat? That's not counting to keep Shabbat. Eating chulent like a pig and then sleep 8 hours. That's for keeping Shabbat? But Hashem, I didn't drive at least. Of course. So of course you're not like the secular guy on the street. It's nothing to compare, but I'm not comparing you to him. From him, I'm not expecting that much. How can I expect from a person that thinks he's an animal? You ask him what's the purpose of life, he doesn't know. All he wants is to fulfill his desires. He see a female, he attacks. He see food, he attacks. He see money, he attacks. Rashi Tevot Uman. 3 strongest desires. What are they? What are the 3 strongest desires?
Money, woman.
Nashim, it's Nun. Mamon, it's Mem. And what's the 3rd one? Let's see if you get this one. What's the Aleph for? Huh? Ochel, no. Food, women, and money. Rashi Tevot Uman. Or Umain. Or Amen. Whatever you want. The strongest desires. You want to check a person is religious? Check him in these 3 things. If he's good with these 3 things, I promise you all the rest is fine. Yeah. Look at the wedding when they serve the dessert. What happened? 300 people, ta 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 ta, everyone to the left. Today, if you want to bring people to the lecture, you have to write in a flyer, sushi will be served. A triple the amount of the people. Oy lanu, from the embarrassment that we got to such level, that few bites of some kind of food brings us to drive half an hour extra to go to here to suffer so much from the words of the speaker, as long as we can make few bites or pizza. And it's not only poor people. A homeless person saw a flyer, I understand why he came. Talking rich professionals. So I don't understand, how does it work? People write the amount of the gift on the check based on how much food in a wedding. They come, oh, good food, okay. Add 0. Huh? True or not? Anything I say so far, I exaggerate? Huh?
Bad food cancel check.
No, I have something better. Some people, they don't cancel the check. They just write it with the disposable ink. You know this ink that evaporates after 5 minutes? They write, they sign, everything. I give you the check. After 10 minutes, the check is blank.
That's even better.
By the way, if you write with this ink on Shabbat, what sin is that? The Rabbanan or the Oraita? Huh? What do you say? Huh?
You're just touching it. It's not writing.
What sin?
The Rabbanan.
You know, you don't erase it. Erase by itself. Evaporates. The air evaporates. But it's in the Rabbanan. Why it's not the Oraita? It's a big difference between the Rabbanan and the Oraita. If a person write it on Shabbat, and they tell him, stop, and he continue to write, from that moment, they take him to the court and execute him. He got the warning. He doesn't want to keep Shabbat. They take him. The rest is history. But if he writes with this kind of ink, they don't know yet that in 5 minutes it will disappear. And they take him now for execution, and then, all of a sudden they find out that it was ink that evaporates by itself. They cannot touch him. All the most they can do, the court, is after they warning him to give him 39 patches with a whip. That's it. He threw the Rabbanan. Big difference on why is it? Because the one of the conditions to become guilty on Chilul Shabbat is that the sin that you do has an existence. If you write on the windshield of a car, you know, on a steam, you know, they have steam sometimes, you write your name, then in an hour from now it's not going to be there. It's not a sin from the Torah, only the Rabbanan. Why the Rabbanan doesn't allow it? Because if you write here, tomorrow you write with a pen, and that's the end of it. But the certain things that people have to know. Not, you have to, everything that you do on Shabbat, some of them the Oraita, some of them the Rabbanan. If you don't know if you know the rules, Shabbat, it's a lot easier. You know exactly what to do, and you don't feel that you're limited almost, because you know all the rules. How to do with the change, when, what, and you know all the rules. The more you learn, the easier it is to get religious. You should know that. The more you know, the easier it is to become frum, or to keep the lifestyle of a religious guy. The less you know, the religion is very heavy, because everything is not allowed. Asur, this, asur, this, asur. If you learn, you know half of the things is allowed. You just have to know what allowed, what not allowed. So going back to what other things that we spoke about. So the Gemara says three people go to Chas v'Shalom Gehenom, God forbid, and never comes out. One goes with a married woman. Him and her. What's the second one? Amalbin pnei chavero barabim. Embarrassing person in front of people. Shh. Get a chill just to think about it. It can happen every hour sometimes. You made a joke about your friend, fun of people. Your friend says something and say, why are you lying? You were not there. I was there. I didn't see you. Something like that. Sometimes the foolish kids, their parents lie in front of all the guests. They say, why, Abba? No, it wasn't like that. That's from Shamayim already. What does the kids know? And it's already called Malbin Pnei Chavero. You see how red the face of a person is? Especially if he's an Ashkenazi, when you embarrass him, you feel like the blood is about to explode from the ears. The dark people, it also happens to them, but the darkness covers, you know? It's like a natural makeup. And did you ever see a Yemenite guy embarrassed? You can never see. Not that he doesn't embarrass. The punishment is the same punishment. And what's the third one? Mechane Shem Ra Lechavero, making a derogatory name to your friend. Like, for instance, the guy in Israel, they used to call fat people kidbek. It's a big embarrassment for him. Kidbek is, you know, these big bags that the soldiers take to the army. It's bigger than the person. They made that expression. If you call it a person and he's embarrassed in front of people, right there, in 1 second, you fall into this scary category. How much scary? To make a building, it can take 20 years. Bricks, that, engineers, measuring, painting, sheet racks, finishing. To knock it down, 1 second. To build your religion, 70 years. To...